The Guardian.
Hello, I'm Rosie Swash, and this is Music Weekly at Glastonbury from The Guardian. We're here on Worthy Farm for our annual trip to the highlight of the summer festival circuit. For a week, Glastonbury becomes the third largest city in southwest England. And this year, 177,000 people will be here for 5 days of music, performance, fun, and a lot of mud. We'll be here all weekend, bringing you a programme every day until Monday, with interviews, reviews, some live music, and the sound of the festival. On today's show, we're here in Strummerville to find out about the history of the camp. We found out what the organisers do to keep pop stars clear of the mud.
They were these tall, beautiful, elegant guys with these long, white, flowing robes on, and they've basically got a job lot of red wellies.
We'll be previewing what's coming up this weekend, and we finish the programme with some live music from Emmy the Great. So keep listening. This is Music Weekly at Glastonbury from The Guardian. Hello from Glastonbury. We're here in Strummerville, and there's a couple of inches of mud underfoot already. If you don't know already, it's been raining off and on since much earlier this week, and some people have been arriving on site here have been greeted not so much by rolling green fields, but instead a thick layer of mud. Not a great way to start off the weekend. The sun is forecast for the end of the festival, but if you're not here, be happy in the knowledge that you're probably drier and warmer than us right now. With me is guardian.co.uk/musics, Tim Jones.
Hi, Rosie. Hi.
Hi, nice to see you again. And I'm also here with the guides, Rebecca Nicholson.
Hi.
Hi. Did either of you forget to pack anything crucial? I did put out lots of tweets saying everyone bring something warm, so you can't blame
me. I've never brought more warm stuff in my life. This year I've got long johns on now, and I've got gloves, scarf, coat, and hat.
Yeah. Normally, I forgot sunglasses. The one thing that I forgot was sunglasses. I'm dressed for an Arctic winter, but it's actually quite sunny, so yeah.
All right, so we'll start our first programme this year with a tour round Strummerville.
We're around the campfire, it's all amazing. We've got sofas going on, we've got reggae going on. It's all good, loving it. I genuinely think it's a really touching way to remember him, because even kids that grew up after his time are going to get involved in this and are really enjoying it. You can see kids running around at the moment, and yeah, I think it's a brilliant idea.
Right now there's some fabulous music. They just played The Upsetters, which was fabulous, and the tune that they sang, I can't remember the name of, but it's one that's amazing, and very, very good. Lots of people sitting around, couches, sofas, people are drinking coffee mixed with rum. It's lovely, yes.
It's a great platform for new musical artists, like, and even established ones that we know, like Beans on Toast and stuff, like, love him, just like, it's kind of hanging out with friends. It's more of a social thing for me. It's not pretentious in any way. It's very, informal. And it's just like hanging out around a campfire, singing songs, and just chilling out together. That's the best thing, really.
I'm here at Strummerville with Trish Whelan, who is the charity director of the organisation. For people that don't know, do you want to give us a bit of a background?
Strummerville is the Joe Strummer New Music Foundation. We're a registered charity, and we give opportunities to people through music who wouldn't normally have access to them. So Glastonbury is like our spiritual home, because it's where Joe used to have his campfire. We're standing right beside his memory stone, and we present the sort of cream of our bands, the cream of our crop, and then got some other really big bands who come and play as guests for us.
Tell us a bit about the tradition of the campfire.
Well, Joe was a really big believer in the sort of power of the campfire for uniting people. So, having fun, playing music, and connect. You know, like the energy of being around the fire where everybody's the same, just kind of brings people together. You can actually get physically warm, and hopefully your heart can get warm as well.
You were saying before that, because it's very, very crowded up here, and you were saying that Thursday nights, people just seem to descend on it because they're desperate for something to do, and they know that this is where they're going to be able to have a bit of fun.
Exactly. Well, you know, everyone's dying for the music to start. That really is why we're all here. And so, yeah, so we do tend to get lots of people who just really want to see live music and who've been maybe on site for 24, 48 hours and who are a bit like, let's go.
I'm here with Dan from Bastille. They've just come off stage at Shomerville. You were the first band to play Shomerville this year?
Yeah.
It is. Tell us about your involvement with Shomerville, because I know there's a sort of charity element and a sort of development element with bands. Is that something that you're involved in?
Yeah, no, very much so. Before I did this Bastille thing's quite new, and I was doing stuff on my own before, and they've always just been really supportive. They kind of got in touch and occasionally kind of help out with sort of financial stuff. Like, I had my instruments stolen at one point and they like really helped in replacing them all, which was amazing, and I wouldn't have been able to do it without them, like anything without them, because I wouldn't have had a piano. They're just like really good sort of mentors and stuff, and yeah, and they're not snobby about sort of the types of music and stuff either, so they kind of take in everyone. It's great, it's really good.
So have you ever played Glastonbury before?
Played today, earlier.
Oh, okay.
We played at the Rabbit Hole up
this
the hill.
This is some new other thing, I don't know. Every time I come to Glastonbury, there's just some new other aspect.
It's growing and growing.
Yeah.
No, it's we played in the daytime, but apparently when you go at night, you have to find a carrot and then go through a rabbit hole to get there. It was very tame today. It was daylight and we were playing, so it was hardly like... But yeah, I've heard that it apparently always... The tubes to get through always get like... congested with people who've just done balloons and tripping on LSD and stuff.
Oh my god, he's saying all this stuff, it just sounds like hell to me. So, although last year was the 40th anniversary of the festival, this year is actually the 30th Glastonbury, because there have been some years where there hasn't been a festival at all. And next year, Michael Leavis is having a year off to let the farm recover, because the country will be preparing for the Olympics. But while we're here, I'm going to ask the team what everyone is looking forward to this year. So, Rebecca, what are you looking forward to for the rest of the festival?
I'm quite pleased that there's a strong pop showing this year.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to Tiny Temper. Kesha is playing.
Really?
Which, okay, well, I know this is controversial, but I'm quite looking forward to seeing Kesha because, well... So
I'm waiting for you to... You keep looking at me like you're going to justify it.
But, I mean, remember when Lady Gaga played here for the first time? I'm not claiming that it's going to be a Lady Gaga moment, but at the same time, I think there's definitely a place for some big pop chart hits in the afternoon, especially if it's sunny.
The Guardian had put up this sort of band buzz graph thing earlier in the week to see who of the acts that are playing Glastonbury were being sort of googled and searched for the most, and it was Beyonce number one and Kesha was number two, which I was very surprised.
Well, I'll be there at the front waving my
and that was you
Kesha flag.
just refreshing your page constantly. Tim, what are you looking forward to?
Well, I'm looking forward to quite a few of the old school things. I want to see Paul Simon, because obviously he's going to play Graceland back to back and nothing else. Yeah. That's what I've been told. And I quite want to see Wu-Tang Clan for about probably 3 minutes, until I like, right, this sounds awful, I don't know who any of them are. But I think it'll be good to see Wu-Tang Clan. So
I know it sounds really predictable, but I am obviously looking forward to seeing Beyonce. I've never seen her live. I've seen lots of footage of her live. She's obviously an incredible live act. And also, you can go from Robin on the John Peel stage at the other stage, go from Robin straight to Beyonce back to back. That is a pretty good pop double act.
There's two things about Beyonce. One is that it's that amazing kind of performance she did with all the video screens behind her, which makes you really excited. The other is the news that she's going to probably cover Kings of Leon's Sex on Fire.
But can we balance that out with a Destiny's Child medley? Because I think that that's promised as well.
Promise
possibly rumoured. But I think that's fair enough.
Anybody... Going to U2, or no, you're looking forward to it? Is anyone going to put their cynicism about?
I'm a bit worried about the weather, just because that is kind of when the downpours. And it's like, I could just about kind of get motivated to see U2, to see the spectacle, and say, will it convert me? But the fact that it might actually be bucketing down with rain, I just don't know. You know, that will ruin the spectacle. But if it's not raining, I think it'd be worth checking out just to see. You can't really slag off U2 at Glastonbury if you haven't seen it. So
very true. Rebecca?
Well, I think I realise this sounds super indie, but I think Wild Beasts are playing the other stage at the same time, and I've made a commitment to be there. So.
Okay, well, leave your comments on the Music Weekly blog or tweet us. You can find the links and follow the whole Guardian team here at Glastonbury, and that's guardian.co.uk/Glastonbury. We'll pick out the best on the programme tomorrow morning. We also want your audio boos. We'll play the best ones out on the programme over the weekend, but whether you're on site or listening and watching the festival at home, record us a short boo and we'll stick it in tomorrow's show. Again, links on how to do it are on the site or on the screen of your iPod or Android now. While you're on the site, by the way, you can check out some great pictures, reviews and Team Guardian's live blog. We've got continuous coverage all weekend. guardian.co.uk/Glastonbury is where it's all at. Every few years, a particular Glastonbury stage becomes a highlight of the festival in its own right. A few years back, it was the introduction of the Park stage, which is Emily Evers's sort of personal baby project to see what she could do with a stage. And this year, it seems like West Holt's is a stage that's got everyone excited. It used to be called Jazz World Stage a couple of years back, and last year they changed it to West Holt's. You had George Clinton playing, Mos Def, Toots and Maytals, among others. This year you've got Janelle Monáe, Big Boy, Allo Black, Kool & the Gang, Hercules & Love Affair, and loads more. Well, we're here backstage at West Holt's to meet Steve Simons, who puts together the bands that you're going to see on West Holt's. Steve, how long have you been doing this?
Well, I started last year, but I had a gap of about 15 years. Well, I used to do it a long, long time ago as well, but I've been working in sort of some capacity on this stage for about a quarter of a century now.
And so last year was when it changed its name.
Yes.
From
Jazz World to West Holt's, yeah.
And were you behind that decision?
Well, I kind of went up to the farm to have a sort of job interview in a very Glastonbury way with Michael and Emily and stuff. And I said to Michael, look, you know, besides wanting the job back, I want to change the name of the stage. And he said, no. And he said, it'd be far too much hassle, changing all the signs and everything. And then about 10 minutes later, he kind of wandered back in and he said, well, what would you like to change it to? And I said, West Holt's. And he went, you've done very well. He said, you've only been here 10 minutes and you've got the job and you've changed the name of the stage.
Why did you want to change it to West Holt's? What's the significance?
The reason was that we felt that Jazz World was a bit of a hindrance. I mean, some bands had actually refused to play the stage because they thought it was a world music stage, or even more worrying for them, a world of jazz music, you know. And I think that, you know, going back to the kind of early days of this stage, it was a lot more flexible. It was a lot more kind of cutting edge, and it was able to move with the times a lot more. And I felt that the Jazz World thing sort of held it into, you know, a certain set of expectations from people. And having a musically neutral name like this just allows us that bit more creative freedom and, you know, ability to change with the times.
And has that made a noticeable difference in booking bands?
Well, because I only came back doing it 2 years ago, I can't really remember the difference from before. But I certainly had no opposition for playing on the stage. And we're back up to being the third stage, rather than the John Peel stage being the third stage.
So is it Pyramid Park?
No, Pyramid Other, Us, and then JP.
And then JP, and then Park. Yeah. You see, because I thought Park, a couple of years ago, did what West Holt's did last year, which was kind of pique everyone's interest again.
There's a lot of politics involved with booking the bands, because Emily and her husband Nick is the head of music for Glastonbury, you know, it's very, very much their baby, particularly Emily. She cut her, you know, her teeth on that stage. And I always thought that a lot of what they were doing was the sort of stuff that we should be doing. So I'm constantly getting messages from Nick going, look, don't make it too much like the Park. And then he'll turn around and say things like, well, you know, the kind of black music and world music isn't working so well for us. So basically we agreed to argue and bicker forever over almost, you know, any band that sort of lies on that cusp, really.
And, I mean, this year I think that the Saturday night that really stuck out, where you've got Janelle Monáe and Big Boy's kind of back-to-back, Big Boy headlining, is that just your wish list? You know, do you just sit there and think, who would I love to play on a Saturday?
Well, I mean, around, you know, it's such a lovely job because around October through till at least Christmas, January, I spend an awful lot of time just lying around home, listening to music, going out to gigs, you know, and coming up with a long list of bands. And then obviously you've got to see what you can afford and who's available and so on. But I think this year I came pretty close to getting exactly what I wanted months ago, which is great.
I feel as if perhaps people across the other side of the Atlantic are much more interested in playing Glastonbury now. I don't know, perhaps that's a misconception of mine.
I think it's true. I think there was a kind of remnants of a lack of interest, shall we say, in the festival in the States, particularly amongst, I mean, you're right, particularly amongst urban music artists, black artists. And I think the Jay-Z on the Pyramid really changed that, and Stevie Wonder, of course, last year. I mean, once you get guys of that caliber playing, everybody's going, I should be there. And you know, we asked big boys to do it, and Glastonbury has less money to spend than just about any other festival on, you know, getting comparable acts. So I put in a really low offer for Big Boy, and he accepted, but he was just going to do it as a kind of DJ MC set. And then a few weeks before deadline, we got a phone call going, look, he's just realised he's headlining big stage at Glastonbury. He wants to do the whole big production. He's bringing over a band of 18 people. It's going to be fully live. And I was going, I've got no more money. And he goes, doesn't matter. They're coming. And it was just brilliant.
So if someone was listening to this and they were on their way down to Glastonbury this weekend, what would your personal recommendation be if they were just going to come to West Holt's once?
Well, I mean, obviously everybody knows about, you know, who Cool and the Gang and Chasing Status are and so on and so on. So the Brand Brauer Frick Ensemble on Saturday afternoon is three German guys with a laptop and a little syndrome thing, but they've created their work using sampling orchestral instruments and looping them, playing around with it and so on. And the ensemble expands to a 12-piece orchestra. So they're kind of playing it live. Anyway, on their first video for a tune called Bop, they featured these ballet dancers. And I said, look, it would just be fantastic to make it look like that and get ballet dancers. And in fact, I don't want to do it without that. And to reduce costs, we decided to have a competition to find the ballet dancers in this country rather than bringing them over from Germany. And we have the Royal National Ballet coming along and supplying four dancers just to do this
fantastic
one song.
The weather is going to be changeable, shall we say. There's probably going to be quite a lot of mud over the weekend. When you've got these big Janelle Monáe type stars come in who are probably not used to it, do you have to go to a lot of effort to make sure that their skin or clothing never touches any mud? Or do you find that most people kind of roll with it?
The one bit of advice we put out is bring wellies, you know, obviously. And I remember there was an African band playing years ago. It's one of my favourite memories. They were these tall, beautiful, elegant guys with these long white flowing robes on, and they basically got a job lot of red wellies, which were all slightly too small for them. And before they went on stage, they were all lying on their back, wiggling their legs in the air, getting their manager to pull their boots off. It was just a beautiful sight.
That's a bit of Janelle Monáe and Big Boy ending the chat with Steve, who organises the West Holt stage. Janelle is on there on Saturday night at 9:15, and she's followed by Big Boy, who appears at 10:45. A bit of a crossover there, maybe. Well, that's all for today. Don't forget all the coverage on the site, guardian.co.uk/Glastonbury, for all the tweets, pictures and reviews, plus tomorrow morning's edition of Music Weekly. So yes, remember, we'll be back tomorrow morning in your podcast feed or on the site. So hit the subscribe button or check the site in the AM. We'll leave you with a live track from Emmy the Great, who's performing on the Oxalas in West Stage tonight.
There is a radiance, usually afforded to a source of light. Vomiting gradients, beaming all around you as you walk tonight. Oh, tell me, Iris. Always looking for the next result, and when they serve you it, don't you always comes and it goes, but it comes and it goes. I'll help you find the word for it.
For more great downloads, go to guardian.co.uk/audio.